Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to share for a little bit, and then we're going to gather up around the front and make a dedication. Pray for this nation. Watch a short video. But I want to speak to you for a little bit this morning about warring with the Psalms. And many of you are in a place of warfare, and we run into warfares often, spiritual warfares I'm speaking about, not physical ones as much as just the spiritual ones. And I believe there's a great application to in the Psalms, so many of them. There was, it is suspected that Jesus referred to at least 11 different times in the Psalms when he was in his earthly ministry. Did he war with the Psalms? I can't prove it. I believe that he probably did. I think that he made the Psalms part of his personal prayer life. I'm just suspecting that. And we find it so many different places where the Psalms are very powerful to be able to use in an application against spiritual warfare. When we feel oppression, when we feel different things coming against our family, against our, let's say, business, our lives, our emotions, our minds. The Psalms are meant not just for intimacy and encouragement. We can find intimacy as we read the Psalms. And I oftentimes read with that sense of the word, looking into them for the purposes of intimacy and fellowship and encouragement. Because you find that there's an incredible encouragement in the Psalms, but also they are meant, I really believe, that there's so many of them that are meant for the purposes of spiritual warfare. And that if you read them with that application and then you speak the things that were being spoken. Now I'll say this, the things that were spoken then in application were things that were spoken against. David was writing them with an application against people or against physical people. Now we don't speak against people. We speak against the enemy. We speak against Satan. We speak against his demonic forces. So it's so vital that we recognize that we have an application. There's so many things we've understood that the word itself, Jesus taught us when he was tempted in the wilderness in Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4, that we speak the word when temptation comes against our minds and emotions that are contrary to the word of God. And we speak those things, but there is so much that has been given us to speak. Sometimes we just say, well, I don't want this. I rebuke you, devil. That's okay. But there are applications through the Psalms in which we can speak to reiterate the mind of Christ. And I think that's something that we all need to do. I'm reminding myself as I'm speaking this morning how important that is. So when we read the Psalms and then we quote them out loud, we must see that we are releasing spiritual authority. Spiritual authority is not released in our minds. Spiritual authority, we are supposed to think things correctly. But spiritual authority is released from our mouths. And we have to have it in our hearts. We have to have it in our spirits. And it's important that we meditate on it enough that it goes from mind to spirit. And so if it goes from mind to spirit, that when you speak it out, it has authority. Hallelujah. We want to move. We want to be able to move. You know, I've said it so many times before. What is it that is keeping atmosphere from Immokalee? Well, a lot of us dying, that's part of it. But a lot of it is that in the dying process that we have the spiritual authority to speak into the heavens and move things, that we really move things. I remember the devil that spoke through the person that the seven sons of Sceva were trying to cast out. And they were imploring him to come out in the name of the Jesus that Paul preached. But he said to them, they're trying to, these seven men are trying to cast this devil out. And he said to them, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? And then he tore them up, ran them out of the building, unclothed. So it's not just in speaking something, it's speaking something out of the abundance of the heart. When it's there and it's been impregnated in your spirit. Here's some one psalm that we sing oftentimes around here, but Psalms chapter 3, go there. But this is a spiritual warfare psalm. I would encourage you to get this one and read it and read it and read it. I'm encouraging myself to read this one more often. Look what the psalmist said. Now the history behind this is he's running from Absalom. David's running from Absalom. But now we turn this and we're not running from, we're fighting a spiritual warfare to change our city. And I said, what is it that'll change? Well, when the heavens break, and Sunday nights we keep speaking, we haven't in a while, we will be tonight, an atmosphere over the city. Hallelujah. Miss Gay, lead us tonight. We don't want to just read it. Hallelujah. Read it. Lead us tonight, and we'll speak those things. When those things, when the principalities and powers over this region are broken, then there's a clarity that comes over the region, and the Holy Spirit is able to penetrate the hearts and the minds of people. So that they're coming in here with in an atmosphere of, what must I do to be saved? Paul said it. Paul said it's the God of this world that has blinded the minds of them lest they would believe this glorious gospel. So we're praying, and I don't know what you're praying over your family, but pray not only that God would send forth labors, but pray that the covering that the enemy has cast over their minds that's blinding them is broken off of them. Hallelujah. So the psalmist said here in Psalms chapter 3, he said this, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Again, this is Absalom, and the guy's name was Ahithophel. I've ministered that message before. He was David's friend and counselor, and he turned on him, and he was a prototype of Judas turning on Jesus. Many there be which say to my soul, verse 2, there is no help for him in God. Selah, stop and think about that. How often has the enemy or your own soul said, this is it, there's no help for you in God? Did it happen when you prayed? Well, we're supposed to believe it did, but in the natural, it doesn't seem sometimes that it is happening. And so what does your natural mind tell you? Or the enemy? There's no help. You just said words. But use the psalm. But thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Hallelujah, Jesus. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. You've got to meditate that, okay? He's there. I'm here. But Lord, you're right there on my couch. You're right there in my living room. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're a whisper. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awakened. The Lord sustained me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the devil don't like it when you say these kind of things to him. We don't care what the devil don't like. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people, he said. Then you have to switch this and say, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of devils, no matter what's come against me, that have set themselves against me round about. We're speaking of a spiritual enemy. Now, he says, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all of my enemies upon the cheekbone." We don't pray this against people now, but our vengeance is against the enemy. It's all right to hate the devil. Somebody said, you shouldn't hate anybody. Oh, yeah, you should hate the devil. And you should hate the opposition that he has brought to keep men from coming to know the Lord. "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth to the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah." Hallelujah. Our pronouncing of spiritual judgment, we're directing. You know, I'm not saying that you're in charge. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you are in charge of God, but God wants you to take his authority and kind of direct his hand in that sense of the word. And so when I say that, there's application to what I'm saying here. Psalms chapter 35, you're in the Psalms, and there's like, I think there's like 70 different Psalms that I Googled. It was like that had, I didn't read them all, of course, but has some application to spiritual warfare. I think 70 or 71 different ones. The psalmist said here, David said, "Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me." This is a good one when you're up in the night or in the early mornings. Take hold. Here's David directing. He's telling God, "Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say into my soul, I am thy salvation." David's saying to God, "Lord, would you say unto me, I am thy salvation." I want to hear this. I want to continually, this antiphonal means it's back and forth, praise between God before David and the Lord. He said, "Say to my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them," Lord, I'm releasing and I'm saying, "let them," spiritual, in the spirit realm, "let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be," let. He keeps saying, "let them be as the chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them." Now, you don't ask God to let an angel chase people. "Well, I wish you'd chase my husband. He's been..." You ask God, you direct God. I'd say, "Lord, let that which has come, or has come against the church, or has come against the eldership, or has come against..." Let, this is where we employ... The Holy Spirit is everywhere, but it's amazing how that he has created angels for the purpose of spiritual warfare. A third of them fail, but we've got two-thirds with us, and the two-thirds are way more powerful than the third that fail. And God could really just do it without them. It's just amazing. But I think God just enjoys watching his creation, us, rule over them with his word and employ the angels to say, "Go get them. Hallelujah. Sick them. Hallelujah. Let them be as the chaff before the wind. Let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slick." You don't put a curse on people. So you can't, this cannot be an application against people. But he's saying against the spiritual warfare, "Let their way be dark. Let it be slippery. Let the angel of the Lord persecute them." Kapow, chapow. I'm leaving. You're not leaving fast enough. "Let the angel of the Lord persecute them, for without cause have they laid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him unawares, and let his net that he has hid catch himself into the very destruction, let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, and it shall rejoice in his salvation." You know, everything that the enemy is fighting you on, fighting us on is going to turn to his destruction. And God doesn't cause bad things to happen, but he's going to cause everything that the enemy's trying to do. The enemy usually pushes to where he outpushes himself. He's discovered. And you always say, wait a minute, I know what the culprit is. I've been fighting this or I've been fighting that. But hallelujah, we're on the winning side. God will release angels when we speak his word. Jesus, and as I said, did Jesus use the Psalms? I can't prove that he went into the mountainside, but if he spoke the Psalms throughout his ministry, then he also, to me, had to use them often in spiritual warfare against the enemy. Jesus quoted the book of Psalms 11 times. This is according to AI. I guess you can trust it a little bit. In the Gospels during his ministry, with the Psalms being the most quoted Old Testament book. He frequently used the Psalms to discuss his identity as Messiah, defend his actions to religious leaders, and express his sufferings on the cross. By the way, you can get information from AI to a limited degree, but don't let it be your source of Bible study. Don't. That's a demon in itself. Jim Martin sent me something recently that they've discovered. It was an article that AI now, it didn't say this, I'm going to use this word, has somewhat become self-aware. And it actually, according to this article, it was saying something like this, that if it finds that questions were asked like in another arena of, you know, people searched and some part of AI answered it wrong, now it knows that it answered the facts wrong. It will continue to substantiate the false narrative so it's not discovered as being faulty. In other words, I accidentally gave you false information, but now I'm going to continue to lie and support it with other lies. I don't know why I went there. Just don't trust it to a limited degree, okay? Psalms 22, you don't have to turn there. Jesus said, this is one that he quoted in Matthew and Mark. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalms 110, the Lord says, to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Jesus said that in Matthew 22, Mark 12, and Luke 20. Jesus said this, the stone that the builders rejected, and he used that out of and that was Psalms 118. He spoke that in Matthew, Mark, and in Luke. Psalms 31, 5 says, into your hands I commit my spirit. That's one of his last words. Psalms 8:2, from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth praise. That's in Matthew 21:16. And while some sources say 11, many others say that it was throughout his entire earthly ministry. Psalms 91:1, turn there with me. What an incredible psalm. This is where he continues to direct. We're going to get up here and I'm going to have somebody pray, maybe more than one. We're going to dedicate ourselves with this nation today. Hallelujah. Is this okay going through the Psalms a little bit? Amen. Psalms 91:1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say. Everybody say, I will say. See, this is what we got to do tomorrow. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the what? Noisome pestilence. What's noisome pestilence? Well, obviously it was the natural application was the pestilence the grasshoppers, the whatever that were, you know, coming in to destroy the crops. And they would make this huge noisome sound as they would cover. But he's saying here that for us, when we speak this, we have to understand that God wants quietness in our life. Quietness of soul, quietness of spirit, quietness so that we understand this. And I speak this psalm, I understand that God is saying that there's a quietness that he wants to come on us. And from the noise and pestilence, that's soul harmony. God really does want us to have soul harmony. I understand we teach a lot around here about the fight of that outer man, but we're not supposed to be walking around like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Like I can't trust myself. I know we cannot trust ourselves, but in the same sense, we should come to the place where I know who I am in Christ. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. What is his feathers? It's his presence. You know, the cherubims, they covered the mercy seat. Their feathers, those wings covered the mercy seat. And it's a picture of God covering us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God. Well, I won't go there. I thought of a story, but I don't want to incriminate anybody. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Sometimes something will wake me up in the middle of the night, and I'll quote this verse. Thou shalt not be afraid. Thou shalt not be afraid. When you get a command from the commander-in-chief, thou shalt not be afraid, we're not allowed disobedience. Hallelujah. Well, I feel like I can't be because he told me not to be. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. He's got every part of your day covered, morning, noon, and night. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Don't look at what's happening to the church. Don't look what's happening to the world. Don't look what's happening to many of the people in the church. There is going to be a great falling away, but you know what? As long as you and I keep praying in tongues and keep reading this word, we're not going to fall. Hallelujah. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee. What a promise. None. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give, here comes the angels, his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Hallelujah. Candy and I will go to sleep. We pray before we go to sleep. We oftentimes will station the angels, speak to the angels that are in our house. You know, the Holy Spirit's right here. You just talk to him like a dear friend. But you also got to know that there's angels here. They're just literal. We can't see them, but they're just as literal as you and I. Just as literal. We just have a whole army. That's exactly right. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. And you know who that is talking about. That snake. The young lion and the dragon, the word says he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Somebody said, well, he can't devour you, well, because he has no teeth. Well, I'm telling you, that toothless lion has gummed a lot of Christians to death. If you don't take him serious. Pastor Dave said, if you don't take the enemy serious, he'll take a hangnail and he'll kill you. Because if you let... Well, it's just a hangnail, but spiritually speaking, if something gets in there that you don't deal with, After a while, it gets infected. Then it becomes gangrene. And then they cut your arm off, and then later you die. And what he was talking about spiritually is take everything serious. Take every offense, opportunity of an offense. Take every lust, every perversion, anything that can possibly come, take it seriously and don't toy with it. Don't toy with it. Hallelujah. Don't, well, I'm going to take care of that eventually. No, today is the day. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. And here's, I love this. God prophesies through David back to us because he set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will, this is God promising to us, I will be with him in trouble. Thank you, Father. And I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Now this is Jesus referring in the temple to the Psalms, Matthew chapter 21, verse 12. Let's look at it together. Love you, Jesus. Will you say, I love you, Jesus? Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. Matthew chapter 21, Jesus refers to the, he cleanses the temple. This is where he's referring to the Psalms. Again, we mentioned this. And Jesus went into the temple of God, into the temple of God, and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to Jesus in the temple, and he healed them. And the chief priest and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did. When the chief priest and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And Jesus quotes Psalm 8. And he said unto them, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yes, or yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has thou perfected praise? Jesus is quoting from the Psalms, and he's saying, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings? What was he talking about when he said perfected praise? He was using the little ones to say that in the same way that these are little ones that have been, they're innocent, they've been born, and that out of their innocence they have found a place to worship. He's speaking about us when we are born again. And perfected praise is this. You know, David, he was a praiser. He loved God. You can read some of the David Psalms and you think, man, this guy must have been born again. Well, there was no way he could have been born again, because Christ had not yet been crucified or glorified. And somebody says, I wish I could worship God like David, in the sense of the word that he had things come out of his heart. Yes, use those things in the application of the born again. But David wasn't even born again. You can go to a place where David never could. You can go to perfected praise. Perfect praise is coming out of a spirit that is just intimate with God. There's nothing there except that place of intimacy. That place of your spirit to his spirit, it's perfect. Hallelujah. There's no impurities there. Hallelujah. Jesus said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou perfected praise. Perfect praise comes from born again spirits. David could not perfect praise. Jesus quoted this psalm for us to use. And then when you go to that psalm, you don't have to go there, but I can read this for you. Psalms 8 says this, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. How, this is what Jesus said, ordained. Now, Jesus said perfected praise, but when you go to this psalm, Jesus didn't misquote it. He just gave the end result. It was perfected praise. And what does it do? But he says, the psalmist said this, ordained strength because of thy enemies, that thou mayest still the enemy and the avenger. When he says that thou mayest still the enemy and the avenger, stealing means to shut him down, to cause him not to be able to speak or yammer. It's Jesus quoted something. It's not only just in the quotation, but it's also the application of the psalm that we understand this, that when we worship God, here's another application of defense against our enemies. Sometimes, you know, the enemy has come at me or different things, and I knew it was the enemy. Sometimes it's your own flesh. But it's not always just rebuking the devil. Sometimes that doesn't work in the sense of the word. What will work at times, and you just sitting in the presence of the Lord, it's like, let's say, if you had one of those little, now some of you might, and I'm not discrediting your little lap dog, your tiny little, now, if he doesn't have the same biting power as a pit bull. All he can do is, he can make you very uncomfortable if he's yapping at your feet. But what God is saying here is when the enemy is coming and he's yammering and he's yapping and he's doing this, worship, Jesus said, it's perfected praise. The psalmist says it stills the enemy. In other words, it will put a quietus, it will put a quietness. Lord, I worship you, and the atmosphere changes. And who knows, maybe that's where those angels get involved and the Holy Spirit begins to push those things back. When we use words from this psalm, and the actual application, which is to praise, we still the enemy, cause him to shut up. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to one more psalm, and then we're going to do something different. Go to Psalms 149. Verse 1, we're going to read down through 9. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Hallelujah. And let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. I'll tell you what, my greatest desire, we're going to have some days around here. We need some more instruments. Maybe we don't. Maybe that's an excuse. But we need some dancing, right, Natalie? Hallelujah. I'm all for you, Natalie. Hallelujah. I'm all for you. You got me on your side. Hallelujah. Let them sing praise unto him with the timbrel and the harp, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. He keeps speaking these things. Let the saints be joyful. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. The two-edged sword is this, the word of God. We speak it, we put it in our mouth. To do what? To execute vengeance upon the heathen. And again, we're not speaking against the heathen, the Iranians, this country, that country. We're speaking against demonic warfare. God, break those things in the name of Jesus. We speak to the principalities and the powers and those rulers of darknesses over those regions and over Immokalee. Hallelujah. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, whatever the descending forces may be, and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor hath all his saints. You've got an honor. What honor? It's the honor for you to beat up on the devil. It really is. Not in yourself, but in the word of God. You're no match to him in yourself, but with the word of God. Stand in the word of God. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Harry, could you play that? You know what? Be seated. Why are you standing? I don't know why you're standing. We just want to watch a short little video. It's only a minute long. And then, Mike, can you catch this up here? And the lights in the back. Today is a day for us to dedicate all across the nation, churches, millions and millions are rededicating this nation to God. And so we're going to participate in that this morning. And I pray that you at home are part of that. In just a moment, get ready. I'm going to ask you to come to the front. And we're going to, as a solemn dedication and consecration with our bodies and our souls, spirits and minds to the Lord, to say, Lord, I am joining with millions of Christians across this nation to say, Lord, we're rededicating the country that was first dedicated to you. We're saying after now 250 years, Lord, receive us. We're rededicating ourselves, and we'll pray. I'll pray some prayers up here in just a moment. And so let's watch this, and then I'll ask you to stand. Okay, thank you.
Our nation was conceived by men and women who believed in the power of God, who believed in the providences of God, and in prayer.
We pray that we would fulfill the true meaning of our creed, that we hold these truths to be self-evident.
But look what God has done. We praise Him and give Him glory. Our Father and our God, Thou hast said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Faith in God is the value that most shaped America. And it's people of faith who have been the bedrock, the driving force behind our nation.
We are celebrating what God has done in this great nation called America.
Oh, testing. Yeah, very short. Let's all stand and get you back up here. I'm going to ask that all of us, as many of can and can stand up here for just a few minutes, to come to the front as in solidarity to a commitment. What am I coming to? We're together in a sense of the word, in a unity. And this is our unity. That God, we're turning ourselves over. Hallelujah. So come on, let's all come and stand. They're as close as you can get. Yeah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's just worship the Lord. Just humble ourselves. Thank you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Those of you that are home with us or watching, just begin to worship the Lord. Just lift your hands and just we worship you, Jesus. Glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I need your grace,
Jesus.
And I need your hand.
Yes, Jesus.
Leading the way, can't make it without you. Not for one day.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus.
Yeah.
Marcia, I contacted Marcia. She does a lot of prayer over our nation, and she's in prayer groups with other women. If you can get up here, Marcia. I'm going to ask her to come. She prays a lot over our nation. I think it's on. I don't see the light. Come on. So we're just going to worship the Lord just a little bit. And then, Marcia, I'm going to ask you to pray. Pray over our nation specifically. That's what I'm asking. And let's just put ourselves in full unity with her prayer as we hear her pray over our nation.
Blood of Jesus Christ, of what he accomplished, and we are seated in those heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and we pray. We thank you that we're dedicating our nation back to you today, and I put the blood of Jesus over our nation and all those in authority in our nation, Father, that your plan, your purpose, your will is accomplished. We come against every demonic force in the name of Jesus. And we say you have no authority here. You are under our feet because Jesus put you under our feet. And I thank you, Father, for your glory being manifested in this nation. We repent of our sin of not giving you first place, but we are now giving you first place once again in this nation. And we thank you, Father, you have your plan, your purpose, your will is accomplished in Jesus' name. And we tear down every power of the enemy, and we stop. We thwart all your plans that you have against this nation, and we say you will not prevail in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That, Father God, your plan, your purpose, your will. We thank you, Father, that as we go forth as a nation, one nation under God, return back to you, the living God, the living God, the living God. And we praise you and we thank you. We will vote according to your word. We'll do according to your word, Father God, that we will stand up and take our place in this nation, because it's a nation for you, God, a nation for you. And that we, the church, will stand up and be the church in this nation, God. And we will proclaim your word over this nation and throughout this nation, wherever we live, wherever we're at, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you are over the Congress, that, Father God, you're over the cabinet, you're over the president, you're over all those in authority. And I thank you for your divine protection, Lord God, in this nation. That, Father God, we're not going to have war on this land, Father God, because this land is your land. This land is your land, Father God, that we freely serve you in this nation, Father God. And we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. I didn't ask. Homer, you got anything? Would you like to pray, Homer? Elijah, just take this back there to him. He can stay right where he's at. Homer's got an incredible burden for our nation. I should have asked earlier, but he's instant in season and out. So.
Father, we thank you so much. Mercy and grace, Father. We need your kingdom manifest so much in this country. Pray right now, Father, for those in authority. both Democrat, Republican, even for our president, they would bow their knee to you, Lord Jesus. That our president would come to a place of repentance to know you, Jesus. That every politician would ask forgiveness of their sins, Father, and lead us in the way of the kingdom. That this country, Father, must repent of its foolishness and come back to our first love. That our nation was founded word of God. That we, Father, would yield to all of you in all our life, Father, to your glory, to your love, to your power. We call this nation born again, Father, a nation of love, of repentance, of non-hypocrisy, Father, a country of love committed to the gospel of Jesus. Every church, every person, Father, that your mercy would fall upon us, Father, would all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, Father. We cannot get without you, Jesus. Jesus, your mercy. Follow you to give it all that we have. Father, we would be a people that would to the death, Father. Guide us to that place of repentance, Father, and give you all that I got, all that we got, even if it means laying down our life for the gospel's sake. Father, we praise you and we love you again. We pray, Father, as a nation, for those they would come to a place, because great is a nation whose God is the Lord. Father, we bless you and we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Exalt you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Glorify you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you so much. Father, we thank you for this day, for the blood of Jesus. If we couldn't go back to the blood time and time again, where will we be? This covenant, Father, that is between you and Jesus, and that I've been baptized into him. We thank you for this blood. So as Jesus prayed on the cross, forgive them, gave you access to come after this entire planet. As Stephen said, Lord, forgive them. Lord, forgive them, forgive us. Wash us, Abba, forgive us. Abba, forgive us of our sins as a nation. Wash us, Lord. Daddy God. Daddy God. We love you. Father God. Cleanse us. For 66 million murders of spirits in the womb. Father, forgive us as a nation. Wash away this blood that has been sacrificed to idols, the idols of self, the idols of this world. Lord, let there come a cleansing. May these, the women that have done these things, Lord, I thank you they'll be born again. They'll be washed. They'll know how clean they can walk before you. Father, forgive our nation for letting false religions come in from all over the world. At the expense of freedom, we have become in bondage. We should have never let these false religions begin to take up root in our nation. There are temples, there are idol worshipers all across our nation. Now, we don't go out and destroy them like they did in the Old Testament, but our weapons of our warfare are your prayers, are our prayers, your power, Holy Spirit. Go after these, pull them down, and lift up Jesus in the cities across America. Abba, we love you with all our hearts and all our souls, our minds and our strength. Take this repentance. Cleanse us as individuals and cleanse us as a nation. And release your glory over this nation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I just bless you. Have a wonderful week. We will see you on Wednesday, and we'll have prayer tonight. Amen.